I'm going to put in 8 hours of work. And so the custom in our company was 10-hour days. I'm going to do all my work in eight and a half max. It's because I didn't have time to stand around a coffee pot. First of all, I didn't drink coffee, so that made it easy. But there's some people that don't drink coffee and they see a crowd. Guess what? They see a crowd around the coffee pot. Guess what they do? Gravitate to it. Man, they got to work right now. Let's take a break. I wasn't into all them breaks. I mean, TC would tell you, I'd come home some days and I'd say, let me sit down for about 30 minutes because my brain would be fried. It would feel like that. I just was exhausted mentally because I worked. And I stayed organized. So I kept things rolling. When you do that, you actually have more time on your hands. I remember one time my boss came to me and he said, Greg, the operator just came to me. They need a valve right here running from this tank right here, a level control valve in this line right here. Put a level control valve right there. I said, okay, no problem. So I got with the operator, found out what they need to do, and guess what? Went to the storeroom, ordered the stuff, got the stuff there. Had it put in on the next outage, world work order, had it put in. The next week, my boss walked by there, and he looked up, and he saw that valve in. And he came to me and said, brother, you got that valve put in that fast? I said, that's what you wanted, ain't it? He said, yeah, that's what I wanted. You know what he was expecting? About 6 weeks. He's expecting you get it, you'll get to it, you're working in with your schedule. But guess what? I say, that's an easy thing. I'm organized. I can fit this in, not hurt none of anything I got going on. I can get this done. And I went and got it done. And I'm going to tell you, it was impressive to him. Because he just making a round, looked up there, and what he had asked for was done. Now, when he needs something done next time, who are you coming to? Who's he more prone to come to? Why? He make things happen. Why is he making things happen? Because he organized. I wasn't the smartest. But you don't have to be the smartest. If you have some good work ethic and you stay organized, that organization, and you listen to the Holy Ghost, and that's key right there. And you listen to the Holy Ghost, tell you when to do things and how to get them done and when to go to a place. When to talk to somebody, who you need to talk to. I'd run into dead end after dead end of trying to find help, and I just keep on knocking. Somebody gonna help me. Because I'm sowing the seed. I'm helping anybody ask me for help, I'm helping them. So I'm expecting, I'm sowing the seed for future help.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety of music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 20. You will find these words. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. May the Lord add a blessing to his word. You may be seated in the presence of God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, don't give up on the promise God made to you. Don't give up on the promise God made to you. This word is an encouraging word. It's a challenging word. It is a word designed to help the believer, whether he or she be young, midlife, or old, to understand that God is faithful. Yes, he is. That no matter what your circumstances look like, no matter how long your trial has been, no matter what you've gone through, don't give up on what God has promised you. One of the things that I think about in this word as we look through it and understand it, my brothers and sisters, how even in this world we have people who have made us promises who have not fulfilled those promises. Truth be told, we've made people some promises that we were unable to fulfill equally as well. That we are familiar with being disappointed when it comes to promises. But one of the things that I am so clear about is the fact that God makes clear that he's not a man that he should lie. One of the things that you must be clear about is that if he said it, if he promised it, if he declared it, if he decreed it, he will bring it to pass. One of the things that I think also is necessary for you to understand is that you don't treat God like you treat man concerning his promises. God is quite capable of bringing his promises to pass all by himself. God is able. I said, God is able. I said, God is able. Unlike many of us who are unable. We might feel able when we make the promise. We might pray that we're able when it comes time or come due. But God doesn't have that problem. He's got all power in his hand. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand, and just walk through this right quickly, and we'll bring this message to a triumphant close. Look at what the word says in verse 17. It's so important. Because when we look at this word, as it is written, God has made Abraham a father of many nations. God has made him that. He didn't make himself that. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before whom he believed. Listen, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Listen now, if God can quicken the dead, raise the dead, let the dead die, stay dead as long as he want them to stay dead, and then tell the dead, you're dead no more, rise, and the dead rise, by simply calling the dead's name, when you got that kind of power, don't you think there ain't much you can't do? But if that isn't enough for ye, he's the same God, not only who can raise the dead, but who can speak those things that be not as though they were. Where do you find that? Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and walked right on through Genesis 1, and everything that God created, he spoke it because it didn't exist. It wasn't there. It was nowhere to be seen, but it was created in his mind. He envisioned it. He saw it. He spoke it by faith. And when he spoke what he saw in his mind out of his mouth by faith, it appeared. So now you've got a God who can raise the dead, but then you got a God who can speak those things that be not as though they were. And they suddenly appear. He's the one who made the promise. Can I suggest to you that he has a mighty good record? Can I suggest to you that if anybody made you a promise who's able to back up that promise, God is able? Listen at this. Verse 18 says, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Listen. He against hope, Abraham, believed in hope. A lot of times we hear that, but we don't really understand what that means. And I'm going to deal a little bit more with that in verse 19, because verse 19 deals with that. But I need you to hear this point. Who against hope? Meaning he who had nothing to hope in according to the way things looked. He who had no reason to hope because of the facts that were clear in the situation. He against hope believed in hope, listen, not for just the sake of hope, but because God said it, that gave him hope over a hopeless situation. Now here is what is clear. He knew he couldn't do nothing about it. That's why against hope he believed in hope, because his hope came in what God promised God would do. Listen, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Abraham hears this and he knows this, and he's hoping against hope. And I think I need to tell somebody, my brothers and sisters, don't look at your situation and become hopeless just because the situation seemed hopeless. I want to say this to you, and I hope you listen to me. Just because your situation seems hopeless doesn't mean you are hopeless. Just because your situation seems hopeless doesn't mean that God is limited to your hopeless situation. Just because hopelessness seems to be all around your situation, you have a choice to believe in hopelessness or to go beyond hopelessness and believe in what God promised you. So who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Verse 19 makes it a lot clearer, because verse 19 really goes more into depth about this hoping against hope situation. Now, verse 19 deals with the fact that he was not weak in faith. And being not weak in faith, listen, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Listen, that it was now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet Sarah's womb that was dead. So now, I want you to see three things in this verse, verse 19, that deals with hoping against hope. Here, we have faith, because the Bible says he was not weak in faith. And I got to tell you, if you're going to believe God for some things, you can't believe, you can't be weak in faith. Some believers can't get what God promised them because their faith is too weak. But the word says he was not weak in faith, and being not weak in faith, he was not weak in faith. In other words, what was clear to him was he was compelled by faith. But though he was compelled by faith, going through what he went through, he did not collapse in his faith. See, some of us got a lot of good faith when we start off, till we start going through. And our faith collapses on us in the midst of our trial, in the midst of our situation, in the midst of our situation. Our faith somehow seems to grow dim on us, grow weak on us, so that it does not take us through. So one issue here was he was not weak in faith. Say, you got to be strong in faith. But listen at this. He not only considered the fact that he wasn't weak in faith, he didn't consider his body. Flesh, say flesh. What was the problem with his flesh? Listen, he was connected to his flesh, but he was not convicted by his flesh. What you talking about, Pastor? He was connected to his flesh, but he wasn't convicted by his flesh. He was well connected with the reality of the fact that he was almost 100 years old, and there were some things he used to do. He couldn't do no more. He ain't like some of us. He was connected. He owned up to the fact that he ain't what he used to be. He didn't go around trying to fool himself, an old man trying to act like a young man. He was connected to his flesh. He understood he was not going to be made a fool of behind his flesh. He understood what he could do no more. And so he did not allow his flesh to convict him like he was able to do something that he knew he could not do in the flesh. But if the flesh weren't enough, listen at this. The fact was he was almost 100 years old. So what the flesh didn't tell him, fact did tell him. Are y'all listening to me here today? I know you might look good for your age, but your age ought to bring wisdom with it. I know you still might have a little pep in your step, but you can't run and jump as high as you used to when you were a young teen.
you, when you were younger, used to have a hymn line higher, but you're older now, drop that hymn line low. You ain't walking slow because you want folk to see you. You walking slow because you can't walk much faster. Act your age. Act like wisdom says you are. I knew I wouldn't get many amens here, but that's all right. I'm preaching truth. Verse 19 talks about faith, talks about flesh, and talks about facts. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb did he consider. Why? Not because of foolishness, but because of faith. 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 Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Powerful. He staggered not. Listen. When you begin to look at these words, open them up, define them, you discover certain things. One of the things is very clear about the fact that he staggered not at the promise of who? Through what? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. But it doesn't mean he was perfect. See, that's why many of us miss it, because we misinterpret the scripture. He didn't stagger, but he struggled. You say, well, Pastor, when did he struggle? Well, you remember when God told him to leave his homeland, his country, his family, all of that good stuff, and go where God would tell him to go, and on that journey, when he was coming into another country because Sarah was so beautiful, he told Sarah, listen, I'm going to have to say you're my sister instead of my wife, because you're so beautiful, the king might kill me in order to get you. So for me to stay alive and keep hope alive. Listen, he struggled with telling the truth and trusting God. Here's what a whole lot of us don't understand. God does not need us to lie to help him with a half truth about what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to make you a father of many nations with Sarah as your wife. That promise was made to the two of them. So why would he have to lie and call her his sister, which was the truth? It was a half-truth. She was his half-sister, but she was his whole wife. She was not his part-time lover. She was his whole wife. But he had to try and fix it so to help God in the promise God made, because if God killed him, then he wouldn't have been able to be a father of many nations. So he didn't stagger at the promise of God, but he did struggle with how God was going to do it. Can I tell you, you don't always know how God's going to do it, but if he said he's going to do it, trust that he's going to do it, whether you understand it or not. One of the other words there is not simply stagger, but stumble. Listen. He didn't stumble, but he slipped. Now, he didn't stumble, but he slipped. Well, Pastor, when did he slip? He slipped when he allowed Sarah to talk him into taking Hagar, her handmaid, and being the surrogate mother of the promise. Now, it had been 14 years since the promise was made. And so he believed God, but now he started thinking that maybe God is going to work it this way. He still believed he was going to be a father of many nations, but now, since Sarah gave permission for Hagar to help in the process, he now figures that through her authorization of Hagar being the helpmeet in this particular situation, that was perhaps how God was going to do it. He slipped from the clear promise that God made. He didn't stumble, but he did slip from the original plan that God gave him. How many of us slip concerning the promises God makes to us because they don't happen when we think they ought to happen? It's been going on too long. We've told too many people what God said. It's been 14 years. How much longer is it going to take? He was actually 75 when God made him the promise. Thirdly, he didn't sabotage the promise, but he did try to stabilize the promise. Through taking this boy, Ishmael, and using him as the son of promise, and Sarah wouldn't have no part of it, and God wouldn't have no part of it, and God blessed him with Isaac. And now God tells him to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. To take his only begotten son, the true son of promise. And now, because Abraham had not staggered at the promise of God through unbelief, but through fleshly dealings, he made his mistakes through his fleshly realities of trying to think God's mind in his thoughts, trying to see if God was going to do it the way that he thought God was going to do it. He tried to help God out when God did not need help in that way, but simply to believe him and trust him. Was willing to stabilize the promise by taking Isaac up to the mountain and sacrificing him. But if you'll note that word, when he took his servants with him and they got at the base of the mountain, he told his servants, wait here while me and the boy go up yonder and worship him, and we will come back down together. 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 Now, he didn't know what God was going to do. But what he did know was that he and Isaac went up together and they were coming down together. However it was going to occur, he started to stop trying to pre-think God in how God would do a thing. And so he began to submit to God. And so while he then had everything necessary for the sacrifice and had bound Isaac